see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers now playing only in theaters. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
And by the way, it also elicited a line that gave ABC its next show, which is when Bennett said, I'm not on The Babysitter, I'm on The Bachelorette. And by the way, 10 out of 10 would watch The Babysitter. Would watch it so hard. I don't know what it is. Is it babysitters competing to take care of some kids? I don't know. Yes. I just am spitballing here. You're welcome,
Sacrifice
ABC.
Sacrifice the children.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon.
It's the day before Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving Eve, if you will, a nationally recognized holiday. And for many of us, it might feel like there's less to be thankful for than ever.
Yeah, this has really been a year that's filled with loneliness and loss for so many Americans. It's been a really tough 2020, but we do want to take a leaf from Bachelor Nation's sweetheart, Dr. Joe, eliminated but never forgotten in our hearts, and focus on the good that's around us and what we do have to be grateful for this week, and specifically on this podcast.
A very good episode of The Bachelorette. It feels like they cracked the code of quarantine bubble Bachelorette production, finally brought us an episode of that good, classic, frothy Bachelor fun with an added bonus of some really awesome substantive conversations. And here to discuss it all with us, we have BFF of the pod, Allison Williams, on Thanksgiving week.
On this magical week, nationally recognized day.
Yeah, your level of dedication to Tayshia and to us is unparalleled.
It is. You know what it is. You know I'll be here. You know that, like Joe, I will make time and show up. And that is what I aspire to.
And we appreciate
Ben, sorry,
that.
Sorry, not like Joe. I meant Ben. Like Ben, I will always show up for you and for Tayshia.
Except for that one time when he didn't.
Yeah, that's true. He was ready to show up. He just was on a different timeline than everyone else.
He was taking things slow.
And he's learned. He's learned, guys. That's what matters.
So just before we dive in, I don't know if we want to call this a call to action this week, but the holidays are going to be a really rough time for spread, especially, you know, for people who are essential workers, people who work in hospitals. This is going to be a really, really, really difficult, scary, painful time. And so whatever you can do to alleviate that, you know, remember to keep masking up, social distancing, wash your hands, avoid travel. Do whatever you can to keep yourself and your community safe so that there are hospital beds and everyone can get through this time as healthily and safely as possible. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving. There is a light at the end of the tunnel, so let's just hunker down a little bit longer. And with our good friend, Tayshia Adams, who is really in the midst of a journey to find love. Like, we are deep in it now.
We are. With the exception of what just happened, I actually am starting to learn some of their names for the first time this season. I felt super proud and currently a little deflated, but I'll try to prove myself. Look,
there's time for a comeback. Ben, you too can improve.
I literally just learned Kenny and Joe's names this week.
I'm still pretty convinced that Ben is named Bennett, and then whenever Bennett comes up, I'm confused. I'm like, that's not Bennett. Oh, right. That is Bennett.
You just think his name is Harvard.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be. There are also a lot of B names on this season. I'm not blaming anyone, but a lot of B's. So we open, again, they had a rose ceremony in the middle of last episode. So we open kind of midweek. There's just been a group date that, quick reminder, Noah crashed and then got the group date rose on. So we open with all the guys hanging out around the pool. Noah and Chasen appear to have formed an alliance and are regarding their enemies from their own cabana. And Chasen is like, you lost your superpower. You don't have a mustache anymore to back your big talk up with. And Noah's like, yeah, a bunch of weens. Weens is Noah's word. What did you guys think of weens, Noah, this episode?
I'm not going to lie. Weens made me laugh a lot. I think that says more about me than Noah, but it just was so surprising.
I agree. I was really struck by it. It really seems to speak to who Noah is as a young child.
Totally.
It did feel very generational. I was like, you're not going to catch a 35-year-old on this show.
No.
Calling the other men a bunch of weens.
In fact, we saw a 35-year-old later on the show use a colloquial term that the Youngs use, which I thought was really endearing.
But the feels?
I'll point the that feel? Out. With yeah. The feels, mm-hmm. Yes. And I was like, how refreshing to have like, someone who doesn't know what
I loved it
says on. Yeah, exactly.
I was like, I love to see representation from my generation.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. My elderly generation.
Yeah.
I don't know when it happened, but I really became aware this year that I was no longer part of the generation that has the fun new colloquialisms. And now I sound like the grandma who's like, what is it that you kids say on the interwebs these days?
Totally.
Pretty
embarrassing. It's a tough transition. but after Noah, you know, makes his proclamation, Chris Harrison shows up and is like, guys, you learned a lesson. Tayshia likes a bold move, which is unfortunate because this is like the most beautifully soft group of soft boys I've ever seen, I love.
Two things. While Chris was talking to them, they were squinting so hard. They were blinded. They were staring directly into the sun, and they couldn't put their sunglasses on for the camera, but I was dying. It literally made it look like Chris Harrison is too brilliant to look at directly. Like, they couldn't. All of them, they cut to them. Like, their eyes are basically closed. They can't see. I was like, this is brutal. Even when they're at one hotel, they find ways to position them so that they cannot have their eyes open the whole time. That just made me laugh. Sorry. I just had to.
I assumed that it was Chris and his radiance because, I mean, he's really putting in a lot of work this episode.
He is. And I appreciate it.
But the men treat him with a great deal of reverence. You know,
sure do, but they have notes.
They do. It's like, listen, you're my hero. I have actually more of a comment than a question today.
I have a note. That made me laugh. We'll get to that. Sorry, I'm putting ahead.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
No, there's so many funny moments of this episode.
I really loved this episode so much.
This date will be actually a competition for a one-on-one. Bennett, Ivan, Blake, Riley, Damar, Kenny, and Zach will be writing and performing an original love song in the space of 1 hour. For a chance at a one-on-one with Tayshia. So they head inside. There's a table covered in instruments, like a seventh grade music class. There's a tambourine. There's maracas. There's a guitar. There's bongos. It really brought me back.
I know. I hadn't seen a good maraca in a minute.
Where's the recorder?
So I guess the problem with a wind instrument is that you can't sing at the same time, but I would have liked to see them get creative with that, you know, do a little interlude maybe.
It's very true. They figured out ways to also not sing while playing percussive instruments. So nothing can stop them.
So this is when we learn, and I needed a little while to brace myself, that Bennett is going to rap. He tells us, I did not take any music courses at Harvard, that's for sure. But I did spit some flow for my high school friends over some retreats.
This was
some white boy prep school.
Guys, these are my people. I am here to translate sentences like this. And I have to tell you, I am going to fail you on this one. I have literally no. I paused. I looked at it. I looked at the subtitles. I watched it again. Other than knowing that it was embarrassing and he didn't know that he was embarrassing himself while it was happening, like, I can picture it happening, but the retreats thing, I'm just...
Look, he goes on some treats. He just goes on retreats, as you do, as you, when you go on retreats and you spit some flow. It's just...
Some retreats, I spat flow.
Yeah.
Others, I did not.
It just happens.
He's like, yeah, of course, the retreats that we all go on.
Yeah, all the retreats in which you spit some flow. It's just a very normal high school experience for a young white man.
My best guess was, just based on his, like, posture and everything, is debate group. But honestly, I don't think he would be good enough at debating to be part of a debate group that would have retreats. So I really am at a loss. I'm really sorry for failing you. But then again, I went to Yale. So, like, maybe if I'd gone to Harvard, I would be able to decode.
It's a whole different elite culture.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, retreats are youth group, which are, you know, religious in nature, where I come from. But I wouldn't presume that that's a particularly universal experience. Certainly I don't discuss them in this way.
Unfortunately, we do not get clarity on this.
No,
we'll never know.
You know, it's just one of those questions that will be hanging in the ether for us, maybe forever. We'll just have to live with that. But what I did appreciate about this date is that none of them were talented, which honestly made it way more enjoyable to watch. Like, it was funny and weird and absurd.
Usually there's at least one.
Even Kenny, whose literal job is to manage boy bands, I was like, he's going to pull something out.
No. No, and Damar really built himself up. Like, I was like, maybe he's secretly, or like Ivan, one of them's going to secretly be an amazing singer. They weren't. And honestly, I appreciated that. It was like not an, it was much less earnest than it could have been. And I was happy.
Yeah. I mean, they all try something different. Kenny does a song that I think he believes is an acrostic of some sort. He's like,
a,
you're the A for. And let's start something. I guess there's an A in that. Riley does spoken word to, like, string music.
I think that's, know, just Damar... a toast. Just gave a toast.
You know, as we learned from Hannah B's season, not everyone can do that.
True.
Or from her, for her appearance, rather. Damar did, I think, put most of his effort into writing the song.
Yes.
Not everyone's a great vocalist, but I do have to say, he put together a pretty respectable pop song for an hour.
I agree. I was actually impressed by that. You know, Ivan pulls the move of inviting Tayshia up on stage, which I think really sealed it for him. He also did a sort of slam poetry performance. And of course, Bennett.
Yeah, raps. I did write down what I thought were all the words to Bennett's rap, but reading them back now,
it's really
feel
upsetting,
like this could be
Claire.
Right.
It's really upsetting just seeing this written.
I just said, "Oh God, Bennett, what is happening? This hurts everywhere."
Yeah, that's accurate.
I didn't transcribe it.
So here's what I've got: you don't need no Harvard degree to be in Paris
already,
eating brie with me.
Just
before
so
I get down on one knee, gonna need that one-on-one with me. Say that one, no pressure, Tayshia. I'm taking you home to mate ya.
Yeah.
I feel like that can't be right, but that's
no,
what
it
I
was. Is, that what that is right. Correct, because I distinctly remember the taking you home to mate ya part. And it was, I had been cringing the whole time, and then it was like an extra dose. And you know what? Can we just move on from it?
I would like to move on permanently from just like white people feeling really impressed that they can rap when they can't rap and they probably shouldn't even be trying. Just like, let's leave that in 2020, especially on this show. We've watched so much of it over the years.
I just like, Is he doing an elaborate bit where he started us with the premise that he went to Harvard and it has confused all of us into thinking there must be something he knows that we just haven't encountered yet? Because every date begins with him being like, well, I've never spelled anything, or I've never done arithmetic. I never studied music. Like, it's all like, I'm not sure what we're left with at this point, that Bennett does in fact know. What does Bennett know?
He knows where he went to college.
He does. He's very sure of that. And he will tell you.
I mean, it's a tie. I feel like a lot of people who go to Harvard are like performatively uncomfortable admitting it because it seems snobby. And, you know, oh, I went to school near Boston. Yes. No, not MIT. It's like a cliche. The guy who's like, FYI, I went to Harvard, is somehow worse.
But yeah, it's worse with a period after it than a question mark, which is the modest way most people say it. Harvard, you know? That's right. Harvard is where I went. Yeah.
You ever heard of it? It's no big deal. I mean, I think that based on his performance so far, and how often he mentions Harvard, you gotta wonder, like, does he know that's the best thing he has to offer is just the fact that he went there? That was years ago. You know, you have to kind of show that you have something other than a degree from a school from almost two decades ago in order to be a good partner.
I would have loved to drop in on the conversation with him and Ed, where Ed's math SAT score was revealed. Did the two of them just sit in silence for the moments after to be like, yeah, and then now we're here.
Now we're here. It just made me think, I mean, Ed is 36. Like, by the time you've graduated college.
I do not remember.
I don't know what my SAT score is because it's not a relevant piece of information to my life.
Like, I feel like by the time you graduate from college, if it appears on your resume, people are like, really? Like, we don't care about that.
You took a standardized test in high school. Like, okay. Moving along. I mean,
yes, so yeah.
Look, American education is one giant scam. That's just what we keep learning on this show. But Tayshia chooses Ivan.
Yes, great choice.
Amazing choice for the romantic one-on-one. And this leads us into like one of the best dates I think we've ever seen on this show.
Ever.
Easily. Like, I think we could say the best. Like, it was. I just loved every moment of it. I'm so obsessed with Ivan. I'm very afraid he's going to get his sweet little heart broken.
Me too.
But I love him.
Yeah. I mean, Tayshia admits he's not her typical type, which the other guys, it seems like, have already picked up on. Mm-hmm. Brendan, I think, who's also an early front runner, is also not that type. You know, she's saying she usually likes bold, confident guys. Like, the guys who are shy are an aberration for her. But maybe it'd be really good for her. Like, it seems like a good complimentary.
She says later that, like, her type is gentle souls. And I think just, like, that actually is a common thread with a lot of these men, including JPJ, you know? Mm. Yeah, Ivan, Zach, Ben.
Brendan.
They're all sort of, like, laid back and will get in the mix, but not, like, aren't, like, at the forefront of,
and also hot
yeah, well,
really Allison. Hot, gentle, kind, intelligent,
yeah,
souls. What is,
but like, definitely the hot
type. I mean, I guess for sure.
Like, if you're into that sort of thing,
just like a really kind man who can make me laugh and has a 12 pack, just like, not a lot to ask, you know?
And who knows when the floor is lava.
Yeah, so the date is that he just comes over to chill in her suite for the evening. She's wearing, like, silky PJs.
Which he calls comfortable attire. I was like, comfortable is you won't see for, like, 2 months.
Yeah. He's like, it's not a sparkly bandage dress, so this must be the most casual she gets.
Yeah, he's like, she still looks really good, even though she's in her PJs. And I'm like, they are it's a silk camisole. Like, that's literally lingerie.
She has been professionally styled with professional hair and makeup. Like, I hate to break it to you, bud.
If you have not seen Retainers, you have not seen comfortable attire yet.
Yeah. Wait until the granny panties and the retainers and the zit cream comes out. You know, not there yet.
So they start by playing The Floor is Lava.
I loved this.
Which is very cute. Then she starts a pillow fight. Down feathers get everywhere. These are clearly prop pillows.
They're just like a pillowcase full of feathers.
It's just a pillowcase full of feathers. They play Twister. They play Bocce. And Ivan is just having the best time. Like, he is a little more quiet and reserved. And so having a date that's just one-on-one where there isn't that much, like, pressure to put on any sort of performance seems much more comfortable for him. He's like, Tayshia brings life into me. She brings out the best in me, which is exactly what Tayshia wants to hear. And so once the games kind of wind down, they start having some really thoughtful conversations. First, they're like comparing their arms, and they're like, oh, we have like the same skin tone. And they start talking about their backgrounds. He is Black and Filipino, and she's Black and Mexican. And she's like, yeah, I've known Filipino people, but never, you know, people who are mixed Filipino. And just generally, she's not used to being with a guy who has that similar element to his background, which they talk about a few times throughout the night. And I thought that was something really, I mean, we never really have seen that on the show.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is what we get when the show actually deigns to cast leads and cast contestants who are from a diversity of backgrounds, and not just cast them, but then allow their conversations to be aired unfiltered and not be overly produced in a way that ends up tokenizing them. And I do, you know, I want to be clear that, like, I don't think any of us want to give the show itself a gold star for this. Like, this is what should have been happening from day one, like allowing a diverse mix of people to have honest conversations about their lives while they're dating each other. But I do think, to me, it felt like what a gift, especially given the fact that the Bachelorette audience is by and far white women. Like, what a gift for these two people to kind of give that audience of, like, allowing us into what was a really, you know, serious and tough and telling conversation about race, racism, incarceration, police brutality. Like, everything that we got here was, I don't know, I was just, like, shocked to see it on the show in a great way, and also just, like, really grateful to the two of them for kind of letting us in that way.
Yeah, I mean, hearing George Floyd's name on The Bachelorette was just like something I never thought would happen. I never thought. I think because of COVID, they kind of had to relinquish a certain amount of the fantasy that they maintain of, like, they're at this house and they're traveling all over the world and, like, all of the stuff. It's like, because of COVID, it's going to look the same every single week. And it's a constant reminder to us of this reality that we're all living in and continuing to live in. And so I think it sort of maybe gave them what felt like permission to break the fourth wall even more and talk about all of the other contexts in which the season began, including the, like, political and, you know, social justice context that it came up in. And I just thought, like, to have a conversation that goes from comparing, you know, their racial backgrounds to substance abuse, to prison, to corrections officers, to police officers, to George Floyd, to the movement for Black Lives, to growing up in a predominantly white neighborhood when you're not white, what that's like. It was just, I couldn't believe I was watching this show. It was so vital and awesome. Yes. And it seemed really intense for both of them, particularly Tayshia, who I'm sure felt like, I've never seen this conversation on this show before. Is this something that we can talk about? You know, like, it did actually make me wonder that when you have these younger contestants, like, I've always assumed these conversations were happening all the time, but maybe for the last couple of years, they just haven't been happening all that much, or they've been really simplified. I don't know.
Yeah. There's a couple of things that you said that I think are really, really good point. One is that they usually can, like, throw a bunch of stuff at us to distract us from how shallow the conversations are. And maybe that's because they're not giving the people that much time to talk. Maybe it's because they're cutting a lot of what they're talking because it doesn't feel like the right thing to show to them. But they can instead show them rappelling down a building, or they can show them, you know, wandering around a market and picking out crafts. And when they can't do that, then they can either have a really boring show, or they can show them having real conversations. And when they've leaned into that, it's been really successful. And I hope that they take a lesson from that. And I mean, not they know in many ways what they're doing much better than I do. But like, for me, this was really good TV. And it was, I think, a step forward for the show. In the ways that, you know, in terms of representation and having real conversations about life. And also, like, the fact that, you know, and we've discussed this in interviews with some previous contestants of color, that, like, often if you go on the show, if you're cast as a Black person, it's because production sees you as someone who is Black, but also can speak to a white audience, that you are from a Black, from a white neighborhood, you have a lot of white friends, maybe you have a white parent. They're looking for that way to like slot you easily into the white dominated universe of The Bachelor. And as Tayshia discusses, she does fit that mold. And so to be able to instead lean into your Blackness and have a conversation about that is something that there hasn't been much opportunity to do on the show. And that's been a huge problem. I loved seeing them have this conversation, which, you know, does weave through a few different parts. They talk about their parents. They talk about how they were both older siblings. And this is sort of how we get into the really deeper conversation, because Ivan starts telling her about his younger brother. He always wanted to be a good example for his younger brother, but then when he went to college, he, you know, his brother started getting into drugs and drinking. He ended up spending 4 years in jail, in prison. And he just had a baby with his girlfriend. And so, you know, he had this daughter who couldn't even touch her dad for the first few years of her life. And, you know, often that's where the conversation would end, even if such a thing were shown. You know, it was really hard.
Right, right. It would be used more as like, oh, look at, here's evidence that this person has gone through something, anything hard. The lead needs to respond in a kind way and then move on and use that as like a way to prove their worthiness for love. And I think that the show is really, really preoccupied, kind of what you touched on earlier, Claire, with like perpetuating that narrative that like these conversations are only to prove their worthiness for the lead. Whereas in real life, dating is about getting to know another person. It's about building intimacy through discussing things that are not just like, are you open and vulnerable and have you had a long relationship? Like, it's about really knowing someone and figuring out whether that person is a good fit for your life and you are a good fit for theirs. And I think to see Tayshia and Ivan connect on these things was really, really beautiful. And it made also for arguably much better, more interesting, more vibrant television. Like, you don't need to maintain an aura of, you know, of a world in which like politics and race and, you know, movements and, you know, all of these things that we are grappling with in the real world don't exist. When you actually allow them to exist, you get so much more specificity. And I think it's much easier to then connect to these people and understand who they are. And I was also just like very, very struck by the fact that Ivan was clearly aware that he was opening up a space that Tayshia might have felt that she hadn't had before. And I think you could sort of see how emotional that was for her. Kind of, as you said, Claire, like coming from a world where she's like very aware of what this show is. And then, you know, of course, as you said, like this initial personal conversation leads into Ivan really talking about what he's seen in terms of the prison system and in terms of police brutality, especially by way of his brother. And of course, by, you know, existing as a man in a black body himself. And he talks about the way that corrections officers were really abusive to his brother, and how kind of inhumane the American prison system is, which I was also thinking, like, incarceration in general, I think this might be only the second conversation we've seen on the show.
Yeah.
So that felt really, really important.
Yeah. And to see it framed not first through, like, this family member, which, like, is understandable. Like, this family member, you know, this was something that they did and they had to pay for their crime, or, like, it was sort of like a painful thing for me, a disappointment. Framed through, like, the experience of being in the prison system and what it reveals about the conditions that all, you know, black people are faced with. You know, he brings up George Floyd here and says, you know, you're thinking about police brutality more than ever this year. You're thinking about that conversation. But, you know, in prison, you know, no one can see what the correctional officers are doing.
Yeah.
And they're not protected from that. And that's something I really would be shocked if there wasn't a lot of backlash from certain parts of the audience. To this this critique of the system.
No one who's ever been into a prison or has spent any time in a prison. It's just, this is how it is.
Period. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a very honest, and, you know, and he says even that he himself, his first thought was, well, what did you do that they had to react this way? But then he realized that it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter what a person in the system does or person on the street does, a police officer, a correctional officer, their job is not to, like, hurt people. And so he really talks about how his brother being in the system was a vector for him to change and to become more aware of injustice. And he and his brother are still really close. And his brother's out of prison now, and so he comes through it with this sense of just, like, a deepening of his commitment to justice, and this is where he does really give Tayshia the opportunity to access this side of herself and her feelings about these issues.
Yeah, he asked her directly, you know, how has this year and all of the upheaval specifically surrounding Black Lives Matter, like, how has that affected you? And you can see Tayshia just, like, really grappling with that question, and again grappling with the fact that perhaps she has not been, like, offered up the space in this loving way by many people before.
And she gets the way he sits with her while she's
yes
in this moment. Like, the other thing is that what we're so conditioned, we've been so, like, whatever the opposite of spoiled is by these interactions, the way they work typically, because they're so formulaic that I'm expecting him to reach over and comfort her, and then she's not going to respond. She's just going to cry, and then they move on. But instead, he's like, I've got you. You're good. You're good. You know, it's like both of them in their vulnerability offered opportunities for the viewers to grow with them and to learn from things they've admitted that they are currently in the process of learning about. When he's told that story about asking his brother, what did you do? You know, the sort of victim blaming framing, he is admitting this line of questioning that was rampant earlier this year and is rampant every time there is someone that's murdered by the hand of the police. The knee-jerk question from a huge proportion of our, you know, population is, well, what did they do to deserve it? And it's a false premise, obviously, but him admitting that that was where he started and that he has learned a lot from that questioning and allows the audience who may have also had that question grow with him in that realization. And for Tayshia to be hit so hard visibly in the moment by this question and by this subject matter allows people to also realize that, like, you know, everyone had a lot of learning to do. Almost everyone, not everyone, but a lot of people and not everyone that you would expect had a lot of learning to do this year. And especially for people who don't like the three of us, it's been particularly painful and hard. And as she described, putting all your energy into fitting in makes it even more painful because I don't have that written down, but if one of you does.
Yeah. Yeah. She says that, I mean, she's from Orange County and she says, yeah, I was the only person who looked like I did. You know, it was a very white place to grow up. And she is now realizing that she's been trying to blend in her whole life because she knew that she was different. And she says when she heard people shouting Black Lives Matter at protests, it just really hit her very hard. And I think that that is such a good point. I think for a lot of people who will say like, oh, I have a Black friend, or, you know, these Black contestants on the show, they seem perfectly happy with the situation. Like, they date white people. It's fine. I'm not being very articulate about this, but like the point being like there are ways that people who are marginalized survive in the dominant culture, and that doesn't mean that they can't have very deep and profound friendships or romances with white people, or that there isn't a lot of good in their lives. But there is also that component always that might be very suppressed in order to survive, of being different in a way that they're expected to ignore or push aside, and that they're expected to not really acknowledge that wholeness of themselves in a white setting. And so to see her talk about that and to be like, yeah, I am a Bachelor Nation standby and I am part of this this world and I come from a background where everyone is white, but that doesn't mean that being Black isn't a really significant part of me that I need to acknowledge and care for. I thought that was really powerful too.
I completely, completely agree. And it, I don't know, the whole thing was just really beautiful. And I also was really struck by then how much this very substantive conversation did clearly allow them to feel closer to each other, potentially romantically. Like, these things are not separate. This is the way we live and the way we bond with people. We talk about the real things in our lives, and then we also can make out with them. Like, those things don't need to be sort of viewed as mutually exclusive. And I just thought that I thought that Ivan's framing of everything and Tayshia's response were both just like so very generous. I mean, to each other, but also to the audience. Like, they knew that they were being filmed. They knew who would be watching. These people are, you know. And again, I just thought like it was like a really generous gift to give us and to sort of bring us as the audience along with them. And I hope that people who may not have had some of these conversations with people in their own lives can really sit with what they heard Tayshia and Ivan talking about and really take it to heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think also ironic that it came out of a date that started with The Floor is Lava, which in a way made fun of kind of the way that this show puts people in terrifying situations for sport to create like a trauma bond situation.
Yes.
But then the actual bonding happened through processing like capital T trauma of living in this country, not with white skin. And they just like found this connection with each other, like you were saying, Emma, that was so much deeper. I mean, skydiving aside, bungee jumping aside, I'm so sorry, no shade to those activities, but like this just felt a little sturdier to me and a little bit more substantive because what they were bonding with each other about, I mean, started by literally comparing the shades of skin that they have and ended by talking about what that has meant for both of them and their experiences of life. So anyway, just thought it was.
That's a really good point. I like. It's funny. I'm also thinking that The Floor is Lava is kind of a play acting out of the way that certain topics are completely off limits on the show.
Can't just jump right over that.
I mean, Claire and Dale, like, we didn't get to see any of the conversations that they talked about on their on the Becca Rachel podcast. So, like, it's not like, we get
right. And I do know that, like, just from having spoken to people, that like there has been in the past a general vibe of, sure, you can try to have conversations about some of these things, but like, that's not going to be shown on camera, so you might as well use your time for something else. Like, that has been like explicitly said to contestants in the past. Yeah. And so I think this does clearly represent a shift on the part of production in just like allowing these interactions to exist organically, which again should be like base level, but unfortunately has not been historically on the show. And I don't know. I really loved it. I thought it was really generous, and I am excited to see more from these two as we move forward in the season.
I did not want it to end. You know how they always say, I didn't want it to end. I was like, I don't want this. I want this to be the show.
I know. I'm like, 2 hours of this. Let's go. Yes. I'm ready. Like,
yes.
I was really struck by how often Tayshia says that she's never really been able to have a conversation like this with someone who shares the background that she does, that she has never been in a relationship like that. And she's kind of taken aback by what that offers to her. And I think that that is a great parallel to what's going on with the show writ large here, which is like, oh, we never realized how rich it would be to give the opportunity for a conversation like this, for a pairing like this to happen on screen. And I love that she kind of voiced that as it applied to her specifically. And then she gives him the rose. Shocker.
Duh. And it's beautiful. And I guess we need to move on to the rest of the episode because other things did in fact happen, unfortunately. We're going to take a quick break, but when we get back, we'll have more on the maybe best episode of Bachelorette ever with Allison Williams. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Lately, my social battery has actually been full to bursting. I feel like I've barely been able to see anyone all winter, especially with little kids at home and constant daycare bugs. And I'm just like dying to get out there and see some people. And, you know, it's actually been kind of hard at times over the winter to feel like I'm just desperate to see friends and I don't have time to do it.
I feel like we're constantly trying to regulate, like, what's the correct amount of social energy? What kind of space do we need to carve out to actually give ourselves the space to socialize? What space do we need to carve out to give ourselves time to actually recharge? Either way, therapy can give you some self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or store it up a little too much.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit betterhelp.com/lovetoseeit today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lovetoseeit. If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all like weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, there's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
Allomoves.com, code LTSI20. 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list.
If, like us, that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better.
One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Oh man, could have saved so much time. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I recently was in France and Portugal, and I was trying my hand at getting more comfortable with French, really brushing up a little bit, and I found Babbel so helpful. I'm not going to say that I like arrived all fluent, but I did feel much more comfortable ordering food in restaurants, asking for directions, reading signs, speaking to people when I was buying something without having to constantly be consulting a language app.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners.
Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get 55% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
And now back to the show.
We get another group date, which it goes from substantive to very goofy very quickly. Zach, yeah. Kenny, Damar, Bennett, Riley, and Blake. How far are you willing to go for love? And Noah is bummed because he does not get to go on a second group date.
They did him so dirty.
I know.
I was like, you guys are awful. Clearly, they're all sitting there and they're like, Noah, how do you feel not getting the group date? He's like, well, I guess I'm pissed because it's a dating show and we all have a crush on the same girl. They just did him so dirty. I'm hoping people who watch this show know well enough that that's not Noah just out of silence piping up and being like, well, I am upset and I know that you all hate me already. So I'm just going to add fuel to that fire, which he'll do later. Like, don't get me wrong, but not.
Yeah, don't worry. He'll dig himself a much deeper hole. But Becca Kufrin and Sydney are here to help Tayshia run this truth or dare challenge. And they split the guys into teams of two: Bennett and Damar, Kenny and Blake, Zach and Riley. And they are off to do a bunch of like gross summer camp shit.
I feel like when they bring outsiders onto the show, it's basically like telling the guys like so that they can know, well, if it doesn't work with the main, this is my dating pool now.
Look at these hot women.
This is now the waters that I swim in paradise or in Los Angeles at influencer events. This is my new dating pool.
Yeah.
And they're not wrong. They are not wrong.
I think
wrong.
It's also a chance for the friends of the lead, the quote unquote friends of the lead, to scope out future Bachelor Nation dating pool.
Yeah. I mean, Becca is newly single at this point. I think Sydney is in a relationship, but you know, Becca, these guys seem a lot less racist than Garrett. So
let's hope.
The bar.
The bar's low.
So they have to do basically three initial dares. They have to chug smoothies with, you know, cow intestines and water scorpion and stuff in them. They have to find Chris Harrison's villa and have him autograph a private part of their body, their butt, to be clear. This is a
they're so chaste
show.
Suddenly. They're like, we'll put you in thongs, sure, for a half hour, but we will not say the word butt. Can't, sorry.
Where
would
the sun
never
don't shine.
Yeah.
And then they have to make, yeah, speaking of being chaste, then they have to make orgasm noises into a phone that like broadcasts them to the
that
whole
was
resort
very funny.
Guys,
a full minute.
I just need to say that some of their faux orgasms made me like very concerned for what they're doing in the bedroom. I'm like,
is this what guys are out here sounding like? You know, like, I've been off the dating scene for a long time and I don't know what's going on.
Like, Kenny was just fully screaming. Kenny was just screaming. Like, Becca says, I think, like, I would drive him to the ER if I heard that. And she's not wrong. True. He sounded in real pain.
Bennett basically monologued, which felt right to me, honestly. It felt
yeah. I think I said this. Out. I think I chatted this to someone last night. I was like, this feels like very on brand for a wealth manager from Manhattan. He's like, oh, yes, please. It's so good. Like, yeah, that sounds about as exciting as sex with Bennett probably is.
Blake decides to kind of mime like he's actually having sex.
Sure
which,
does.
Like, family show, Blake. Come on. Like, my cat
is watching. But he's flexible.
And they decide, I mean, we've discussed this before on the show. We know that production has been informed of some allegations about Easy. Sexual assault allegations. Reality Steve and Ashley Spivey have reported on it a little bit. And so it's surprising to me that they include Easy's color commentary constantly on the sex noises.
I have to say that the only way to interpret this is that he goes quite a long way. Is that possible?
My suspicion. We don't know how far he goes exactly. I don't think he's in the top handful, but you know,
he clearly sticks around
around until just outside that final 4 or 5. I mean, I still, regardless, feel like it is a poor decision to leave him in, basically saying, you know, I'm worried about Blake's soul. He needs to go to church or something like that after listening to his orgasm noises. Like,
could we just not have Easy commenting on some things? Like,
it
just
was a 2 second
dial it
thing.
Back.
I would think just drop it, you know?
It's been sort of genuinely confusing to watch. Last week was much lighter, to the point that I thought they had that.
Me too. I thought
they hadn't
maybe
been able to edit him out until last week.
Me too. I thought maybe that was, and then this week we see a bunch of, again, color commentary, not stuff that felt super necessary.
No, he's getting the laugh lines.
Yeah, he's getting the laugh lines, and that sucks. It sucks, and I wish that was not happening.
The men all have to eat a habanero pepper and then do a proposal next to a silver vomit bucket. I just had to call this out because I can't imagine wanting to be near a guy who was about to vomit a hot pepper. But that is what Tayshia's willing to do for love.
Tayshia's dedicated to the cause, and I applaud her.
It was her favorite part. That is what she said later.
Maybe she just likes torture, which, like, you know.
Whenever I try to, like, use empathy to understand Tayshia, it fails because she is such an enigma and is just based on almost everything we know about her, that, like, it's much more fun. I cannot anticipate what she will or won't like, who she will or won't like. It's very hard. She has shocked me at every turn, and I love every second of it. She defies all the rules. I just love it. I'm loving
she
it.
Does it's not true. Fit in a box, and it is beautiful to watch, and she's just, like, a delightful presence on this show.
I was recently asked to sort of imagine what I would do in Tayshia's position about something, and I just simply could not. Like,
it's a
null set.
It's the circle with the cross. You can't. It's impossible.
Like, we share nothing. Like, I hate everyone. She loves everyone. Like, she enjoys being around people and having fun, and I don't, you know?
Well, there's one thing I'm pretty sure of, which is based on the kiss and this moment they share, she is not into Bennett. That is how I felt.
So we head into the evening truth portion of the date, and Bennett gets that first spotlight time with her. She has seemed excited about Bennett, and it has been one of the more enigmatic components of her persona for me. I struggle to see her with Bennett. I struggle to see most people with Bennett, but
most human women,
Tayshia among them. But he is opening up to her. He says, you know, I was engaged before. I was dialed up for a wedding, as they say.
Yeah, as all of them very normally say.
And she asks why he cut it off. And he says, you know, it's really tough to talk about, but, you know, long story short, my parents had a bad marriage. Sometimes he would get married for the wrong reason. And I just knew it wasn't right. And so I didn't do it, and no regrets. But being on a knee, proposing to her with a habanero pepper in his mouth was a reality check for him. It excited him. He's like, I've been in this situation before. I can see myself here again with Tayshia, and it being basically being the right decision this time.
There's so much. It's so rich. It's such rich ground. I want to talk to this woman so badly.
I know.
I just am so desperate to know the very simple explanation she has about why this didn't happen, which I am 100% positive is the case. I'm just positive.
I don't. It's hard for me to imagine Bennett existing outside of the show. I know that he does. But it's difficult to imagine.
He exists and, within the show and on retreats, Claire. We know he loves this retreats, man loves to retreat.
He spat. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't see it with Bennett long term, but I do think that he just has some qualities that Tayshia has been drawn to in the past, but maybe similar to JPJ, you know, there's the bougie finance bro thing. Like he seems sort of worldly
and is sort of a weirdo, the comfortable which I think she's,
it was just a body language thing for me, honestly. It was like watching her when they were sitting with their legs in the pool, it was just like she is actively hoping he won't kiss her but knows it's coming. Like I could be reading too much into it, but
I think you might be right. I think that he's not gonna be top four, which I thought maybe at the beginning he would be, and now I think like there's clearly a bunch of other people she likes more than him, but he's, you know, entertaining enough so he'll stick around for a while.
Just maybe not for sex.
No, I don't see it. Oh god, that's what the especially orgasm given that the orgasm for. Like no. That's a no-go.
She sits down with some of the other guys. Blake tells her that he has good relationships with all of his exes, which she's very impressed by.
I love that.
I like that too.
Yeah. I want to fact check with that. I want to fact check that.
You're like, I'm not sure I buy it.
There's full exes who are like, he won't recognize me as an ex.
I'm just saying.
All the exes I choose to acknowledge, I have good relationships with.
Yeah.
You can say anything. What's going to happen? You know, the exes aren't around.
I have not been ascertained yet as an ex, and thus I have no support from him. It's a very timely joke.
She asked Kenny if he would be smartassy with her parents, and he says no, but, like, it's not very convincing.
I liked that she asked Riley if he would prioritize family over a demanding career, because I feel like this is a question that women often get, and I kind of like to see it flipped. And Riley, I have such a soft spot for
me
Riley
too, but his answer made me laugh so hard. He did not do this on purpose, but basically she was like, so you're an attorney, you're super successful, would you be able to prioritize our family over that? And he's like, yep, all five kids, and I'm definitely just gonna take my foot off the gas at work. We're gonna support them with air and love, and we will not in any way be relying on the fact that I am an attorney and you are an influencer, and we will just take it super easy with these five kids that we will support somehow. I just thought it was so funny. It was like the real world with the emotional impact of that question, like colliding in this hilarious
response.
These guys are obsessed with her. I actually don't know that we've ever had a bachelorette that's had this high a hit rate. I think to a person would die for her already at this point. Like, they're obsessed with her.
It's weird. This was not what I expected to happen. Like, I could not have predicted this. But I think that actually having them all get dumped by Claire and then having Tayshia walk in, like, beautiful and excited to see them, created a really strong bond. Like, they were all so grateful to her for, like, rescuing their bachelorette experience and giving them a chance and seeming more interested in them than Claire was, because Claire was only interested in Dale. That, like, if she had come in at the beginning as, like, magnetic as she clearly is, there's always guys who are like, nah, nah, nah. Instead, they're just like, thank you for being Tayshia. Like, thank you for being here and, like, looking good in a bikini and, like, caring about my dating history. It's
they're just crazy for her
vibe.
It's amazing. I love to see it. I love to see it.
Tayshia and Zach have their chat in the hot tub.
I was really
whenever
hoping
that happens. I'm always curious about how these evenings unfold. Like, I'm like, you were in evening wear, now you're in a hot tub. Like, what happened?
I think they're just, like, leading her around, being like, okay, time to get your bathing suit now. Swimsuit. Here's your bikini. Here's the hot tub.
I'm obsessed with the hotel. I'm obsessed with the COVID version of this show.
I know. Me too. I honestly,
I hope they never go back.
Me too. I just want to see them, like, grapple with conference room dates forever. It makes me so
Dale
happy.
And Claire got engaged having only been around each other in one location. Tayshia, if she chooses someone, will also, they will have only been on one place. If you go into, like, iPhoto maps, like, all of the photos they have together will be one dot, and they have committed to spend the rest of their lives
together. I'm here for it.
As long as they
I was hoping with Tayshia and Zach that we were going to get like something a little more substantive. And
I know,
yet again,
I was hoping for the addiction conversation.
Yeah, the addiction conversation, or a conversation about the fact that he's been married before. Like, we get none of that again. None of it. But they seem to have good chemistry.
It is all vibes with them. Like, I feel like they both seem, especially Zach, you would expect a more serious, substantive conversation, but it ends up being a lot of wistful staring and like banalities. Like, what scares you about marriage? You know, life happens. It's not always going to be this. And then they just make out. And it's not what you expect, because there are so many much more substantive conversations happening on the show. And Zach seems to be in the mix with those guys who we're seeing those deeper conversations with. But it's like their chemistry is so powerful.
And he's just an adult. Like, the other thing is that there's a lot of raw nerves. Again, see previous comment about how obsessed with her they are. But, like, a lot of them are very nervous this far into the season in kind of an abnormal way. But he, I believe, is he sober?
Yes.
Yeah.
He is.
So he has he doesn't have the liquid courage resources that the other guys have, which is something I loved. He was like, "You're misreading my shyness. I'm just really nervous around you."
And I really loved that.
Raw nervousness, which I loved. And I think that might also be why he's a slower burn, because like the other guys have this weapon that has been used by every person who's come through this show with like two exceptions to pad all landings. And he does not have that.
Maybe next week we'll finally get it. I know it's coming, and so I'm just like, I want the deep conversation, Zach.
But yeah.
I think we're going to get it soon.
Not all in 1 week. It's better
than I know, they couldn't. I get it. They had to spread it out. They couldn't, like, I get it. You know, good things come to those who wait.
She does give Zach the group date rose.
Oh, yes, but actually I had a question about this. She does this thing that I don't think anyone has done before, where she gives little comments to each person or of the people.
No, they actually do that every single time.
They do? That was my question.
Yeah. Yeah. They make them compliment a few people every time. That. Sometimes they show it. Often they just cut everything.
Usually don't show it because.
Right. They usually don't show it.
I wrote down like Tayshia gives the group date rose to Blake, and I was surprised, but he was the first. I'm like, that's so consistently the case, but it makes sense that they would. That they would do it to give themselves options of things to show.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard from people who have been on the show that, like, that's common. They say they do that every time. We just don't get to see it.
Okay.
Now we get to the Ben and Ed portion, which...
It's a Tayshia hunt.
Chris Harrison also earning his keep. I mean, he's out here sipping Vav and, like, eating crab legs, and now he has to have like a 3 a.m. conversation with Ed in his private chambers.
Can we talk about how we think this, what actually happened on this night?
Let's first skim over what we see. Ben is upset because last week, we may remember, he didn't get time with her on the date. She was disappointed in him for not going after the time, and she says that to him. He needs to fix it before the rose ceremony, so he decides to sneak over that night after the group date to see her. Ed, apparently simultaneously, is also feeling like he needs to do something to ensure a rose. He says, "I'm going to pull out the whole bag of tricks," and he heads out to find Tayshia. We see them both walking through the resort. We see a knock. Tayshia gets up from the couch, but it's when Ed, you know, in front of the door that Ed is knocking on, it turns out to be Chris Harrison's door. Ben, conversely, ends up with Tayshia.
Which, at first, I thought they were really going to troll Ben super hard and make him lose this opportunity yet again. I was glad they were a little kinder to Ben, and I guess then they ended up trolling Ed instead, but it was like clearly production having fun and editors having fun.
This is like sophisticated. I mean,
I think that what happened is that I think Ben had a conversation with the producer and they were like, you know, look, she likes bold moves. You need to make a move. You need to go. And probably Ed had a similar conversation, but they know Ed's not a front runner. So they were just like, yeah, Ed, I think like her room is over there. And I think production just straight up told him to go to Chris Harrison's room. And
so do you think
it was hilarious?
This was happening kind of simultaneously, or do you think these were two different nights? Because the idea that, because
that's true, it could be two different nights.
I was like, LOL, they're sending them they're sending them both to Tayshia's room. This is hilarious. They're such assholes. And then I was like, oh my God, something even weirder happened that I really wasn't expecting. And then with the room service delivery, like this was like masterfully.
Oh,
this is fascinating.
They're really like learning how to do this whole one location thing.
They don't have much to work with. So they have to like, the set pieces are the people. It's more horrifying than it usually is.
Yeah, sorry. It could have been different nights because the action is all in the editing. It's all in the making the two walks happen at the same time. Ed knocks, we see Tayshia get up, but then when she opens the door, it's Ben there. The door that Ed knocks on is opened. It's Chris Harrison. It seems to all be happening simultaneously. There's a lot of suspense.
But who
knows? It could have been different nights. It also could have been the same night. It doesn't end up really mattering because they keep them both in separate locations
the whole time.
So funny. Chris Harrison just like out here having 3 a.m. red wine with Ed.
Like it is extremely clear that production planned to send Ed to this other room because Chris was awake at 2:30 a.m.
dressed,
you know, and ready to offer Ed a drink and have an on-camera conversation with him. So I'm pretty sure that Chris Harrison knew this was happening.
Yes.
Tayshia also, like, I think, knew something was happening because she is in full makeup.
And her
hair is immaculate.
T-shirt.
And not a t-shirt. Who doesn't sleep in a t-shirt with a large knot over the belly?
And my midriff showing? Why would I deprive my bed of my midriff?
Exactly. Look, you need to show off for your bed. Your bed deserves the best.
Honestly, our bed sees so much of us these days. They do deserve our best. Every once in a while, they deserve like a nice pressed pajamas. So they can be like, okay, I feel
yeah, they're like, wow, I've been subjected to a lot of the same pair of ratty pajama pants.
Your laptop, all your food.
Yeah,
tears,
all your food. Yeah, a lot of crying and your dirty hair. So thank you. But yeah, this was very, very well edited. And they clearly are throwing Ben a bone here because he gets to you know, make up with Tayshia and prove that he's here to quote unquote fight for her. And it's interesting, Tayshia seems to have like be like specifically suspicious of Ben in a way that she's not of some of the other men.
Well, because I think what he's probably not saying is production fucked me. Like, I think that's what he's
saying. Yeah, oh, for sure. Right. For sure.
Swearing rules. But I think that they're sitting there and she's sort of like, what was your deal? And what he should say is every producer told me that that was a great idea to, like, you know,
to wait and be last. And
wait, exactly. Yeah. And they screwed me because you got tired like a person and wanted to end the night and I hadn't seen you. And now I'm here because they feel bad. And, like, it's just too much fourth wall breakage. So instead he's left with just what I thought was like, for what it was, like a pretty good apology. It was heartfelt. Yeah. It felt really bad. And as we've already seen, he takes the note, implements it. He's ready to make this correction. Yeah.
Ben is here to take feedback, to sit with it, and to act on that feedback.
And who doesn't want that?
That's a good quality.
I love that, again, we get a little education from Tayshia. She's like, I loved that he, you know, listened to my feedback and that he really registered my disappointment, that I communicated to him clearly. He registered it. He stepped back. He reflected and he came back at the right moment to apologize.
It's a full performance.
You can't
review.
Just be like, Tayshia, I'm sorry. You have to like do the steps. And there's something very true about that. Like to properly make things up to someone, it's not necessarily a straightforward process. You've got to
learn about yourself. It's a restorative apology. He modeled a restorative apology. He
orders her room service champagne. He orders her room service champagne. Like he's going above and beyond at a moment when she is ready to receive it rather than on his own schedule. And that's beautiful.
And he did the smartest thing, which is that he didn't tell anyone about it. Which is the smartest thing. This is what happens when you have grown-ups. And then the next night, sorry, I'm jumping ahead, but just really
quickly. No, it's fine.
Like, it's part of what made the whole thing smart is that he didn't talk to people in the house. And thus, the next night when he pulls her first, they're like, makes sense. Good for him. He's finally getting his time.
Yeah.
And
she's no like, one is
this
pissed.
Makes sense. Yeah, it's so perfect. Sorry. Had to
talk. Well played perfectly. Ben is a sleeper hit, I think. Like, I think we're going to see Ben pull ahead now.
Yeah, yeah, and he was like, I'm going on a secret mission. He's like, it's been a couple years. And I was like, oh, yeah, you were fully in the army. Like, you've been on literal secret missions.
Yeah, when he said, like, I've never in my life been more nervous than I was last night, I was like, really? Like,
listen, I was trained for this.
They love her. I'm telling you, it's like on another level. It's 2020 irrational pandemic love. It's like a kind of love we will never know.
Like, you're the only human woman that
we've
seen.
You're literally the only
who will make eye contact with
us. Best friends and all the producers. Yeah.
Yeah, it's well played. And I also just want to briefly touch again on Ed and Chris Harrison. We see a little bit more of their chat later.
In the credits.
Which is when, in the credits. But throughout, like, Chris Harrison's appearances, there's just a special, like, specific Chris vibe when he is doing a bit that we saw so much of this episode. Like, he's, like, a famous non-actor who's doing a cameo on a sitcom. Like, he's like, I've been given a role. This is so fun. Like, I'm going to sit here drinking champagne by the pool. Oh, you need an autograph on your butt? That's crazy.
He also gives 120%. Like, his performances are, like, if anything, pull them back a little. Like, he gives everything he's got to these performances now.
You
he
have
doesn't
some
have a
notes.
Lot going on.
As an actor, you have some notes for Chris.
I just, there's, like, when I say he, like, does an animated face doing all these things, you can picture what I'm describing. Like, he over-animates himself in these moments. He's being Chris Harrison, capital C, capital H, Chris Harrison.
Yeah. Guys, I think this might be penance for the fact that he is going to leave the show for a couple weeks to take his son to college and then quarantine when he gets back. So I guess we haven't reached that point yet, but I felt like he was like, I better really show up. Because I'm leaving the bubble to take my child
to
university.
We love to see a man with a high power career putting his kids
exactly
ahead
just like Riley
sending them to be on a college campus during a pandemic.
I was just gonna say, and then bringing them home to you for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, very responsible. You know what? I don't trust Chris Harrison. I don't believe he wears a mask enough. But that's, you know, look, it's beyond the point.
No, but
we're at
the
cocktail party.
And also later, we do get some more notes for Chris. Ed points out that he no longer knocks when he comes into the guy's room to tell them about the next date. And they kind of miss the knock. They like a little warning. And Chris is like, you know what? Fair. It's a little rude of me to just like barge on in. It was a nice moment to see Chris human accepting feedback.
I loved it because it really, I was like, I wrote, I love this weird hotel version of the show so much because they are roommates having a roommate conversation. While they're not in the same apartment, they are so up each other's assholes, this whole cast and crew and everyone, that they are literally like, dude, we're drawing a line. It's been talked about in the house. The fact that this has been a discussion, they are assembled in a semicircle on a couch waiting for Chris to walk in every time he walks in. And yet, they just need a little buffer. Like, they need a knock and then an entrance. That's
it's good to set boundaries when you're in a new living situation.
It is so funny. I'm so obsessed with this. I hope they do it every time, and I hope everyone can't leave.
I love it.
Exactly,
I'm
like
very
this.
On board. So we finally get to the cocktail party, and this is where we get Noah stirring the pot again in a way that just, like, he really ends up screwing himself. In the long run,
this is a real
believe.
Cell phone.
Yeah, I mean, there is a little foreshadowing of this. We see Ed, you know, warning Easy. I think, you know, be careful with Noah. He's going to try to get back at us for calling him out. You know, he has a rose, so he has nothing to lose. bringing something up, which I was sort of like, you always have something to lose because you might not get a rose next week if you diminish yourself too much in the Bachelorette's eyes by getting pulled into drama. But it turns out Ed is right because Noah feels like he has nothing to lose and he might as well try to take some pot shots at some of the other guys. So after Ben pulls her aside and they have a nice interlude, Tayshia's feeling really good about her group. She's like, these are all great guys. You know, Riley had a cute little contract, a boyfriend-girlfriend contract. Ben is saying all the right things. These are all just solid dudes. And then she sits down with Noah. And Noah lets her know that he has some things on his mind. Specifically, that when he jumped the fence to enter the ring, he knew he'd get heat from the guys, but her opinion was more important. However, since then, the guys have been rolling their eyes at him. They've been saying that he just got the rose to cause drama. And Tayshia's like a little upset. She's like, no, that's not the case. They're just jealous. Don't even worry about it. Like, I genuinely felt like we had a connection. And Noah's like, okay, I see I didn't go far enough. What really bothers me is that them saying that the rose was just for show, you know, they're saying that that means you're not taking it seriously. He's and this like, is when Tayshia gets really pissed.
He's like, I'm not here to tell on any guys. I'm just here to tell on the guys.
No. Okay, wait. Like, I have also been gaslit into oblivion by this, or I'm just genuinely confused because it is true that, like, one of the biggest tropes, especially of The Bachelorette, is that the guys interpret the roses as to make them feel better, as either things she's doing for drama and because production wants it, or because she doesn't know what's good for her, because obviously she would be picking me if she knew what was good for her. And in this moment, weirdly, he is actually saying, he's calling them out to her for being in the both camps, one of which is like, okay, welcome to the show. And the other is like, yes, that's a problematic thing that men are doing. It's paternalistic. And I just, my brain was scrambled by this moment, honestly.
Well, what's very weird about it to me is that you're right. Those are very common tropes on the show. We have not, as an audience, really seen it happen with Noah's Rose ourselves. Like, he is claiming that they are saying, Tayshia doesn't take this seriously because she gave you that rose, or Tayshia only gave you that rose to cause drama. She's not really looking for love. We haven't ourselves really seen that laid out so explicitly. We've seen the guys be like, she's not going to end up with you. You're not a real contender. We've seen them say, like, it's bullshit that you got the rose, basically. But the way that he frames it to her as they're actually saying that you're not taking this seriously, I don't think we saw that. So
no,
either it's
I don't think we saw any of it, but it's just easy for me to imagine.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I could see them being saying something like surmising that production encouraged her to give that rose or something like that. And maybe that's why we didn't see it aired. But I felt like this framing on Noah's part was like really a stretch. And
well, because what? Yeah, and it was manipulative, yeah. And like,
and it was
all
manipulative,
things,
and it was meant to get her very angry. And
because what's interesting is that first he says it kind of in the way
that we did see it,
that we did sort of see it, which is they think I just got the rose to cause drama, and when it's not framed explicitly to her as they think you're not taking this seriously, she doesn't care. She's like, don't worry about that. That happens. They're jealous. Like, ignore it. He has to frame it as though they are explicitly saying, Tayshia isn't doing this right. Tayshia is not really looking for love. Rather than having that be like the implication of them questioning the rose being given to him, they have to be like saying Tayshia sucks for her to get upset. And so he takes it a step further and claims that they are saying that. Is there evidence of that? Not that we've seen.
True. She is so pissed. And they immediately, like meerkats, they sit like straight up and they are so scared. They are, again, so obsessed with her. The idea that she is mad at one of them, all of them, none of them, and just angry at something else is like horrifying to them. And seeing the looks on their faces is unbelievable. But she basically says the thing, she answers to both of those things, to both the things that he brought up. Like, if you think I'm doing things just for drama, And if you don't think that I'm like making my own choices, that I can, I'm trusting my instincts. And she addressed the paternalism as well. And so it elicited a speech that I like really loved hearing on this show, where she finally is saying to all the guys who are constantly commenting on whether or not this guy's the right guy for this woman, or like, how can she not see that this guy, you know, she finally is like, stop, I have eyes and ears and judgment and opinions and taste, and like, let me do my thing, just date me. You know, the fact that it elicited that speech made me really grateful, but he's like gross and needs to go home immediately, obviously. But I just liked her speech, basically.
Yeah, the speech was satisfying, but then like she leaves and all of the men are very understandably like deeply confused. They're like, wait, who questioned her? Who said she what? Like, they were like, none of us said that. What are you talking about? And it comes out that Noah has never brought any of these concerns up to them. And they're all like, wait, literally, this is the first we're hearing that you even felt this way. Not that I'm saying that in reality, him bringing those things up to them would have been effective.
No, I love their weird rules.
But
the rules
they were just like, they were just, I thought it was so funny how like genuinely baffled they were. They were just like,
well, and also Chasen is like hiding his face, and then also now switches to not being on Team Noah anymore. Yeah. Suddenly he's like, yeah, this kid is a joke. He's definitely trouble. Like, we watched them have this conversation at the beginning, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the guys are all completely baffled. They're like, thank you, Tayshia, for your beautiful reprimand. However, we don't know what it was for. Anyone know what it was for? And Noah's like, I know. I told her that...
Noah's like trying to hide. He's like trying to hide in the corner, and they're like, look, who was the last one to talk to her? And he's like, yeah, it's... He's like the meek little one, like
holding
up his hand. Yeah, he raises one finger.
He's like, who can say?
I might have an idea. I could be wrong, but it might.
I just said a little thing, and
so he says, you know, I understand why she's upset inadvertently by saying that you gave me the rose, that she gave me the rose for show. Inadvertently, it was questioning her judgment. And what's interesting is I think that was his initial strategy, was to make that less direct claim and then have her react with offense.
Well, and he has played chess in the house before, so it's possible that he's capable of these things, which I would not have thought. That's...
But then when it didn't work, he was like, fuck it. I'll just frame it explicitly for her that way and then pretend she'll like I don't know how she got that impression.
When she walks into the room and they start to stand up and she basically mimics the like cut signal where she like swipes at her neck to be like, this is not that moment. I am very pissed at you. I'm coming. Did you miss this moment?
Yeah. Oh, no, I saw it.
Oh, my God.
I saw
it's so good. She comes in. They start standing up like immediately and she's like, this is not it.
This is again where Tayshia is giving that like very good stern but loving teacher and or camp counselor vibe. She's like, I'm disappointed in you. You need to think about what you've done. I want
movie night is canceled.
Goodbye. This will be a good summer, but only if you behave well.
Yes, totally. And by the way, it also elicited a line that gave ABC its next show, which is when Bennett said, I'm not on The Babysitter. I'm on The Bachelorette. And by the way, 10 out of 10 would watch The Babysitter. Would watch it so hard. I don't know what it is. Is it babysitters competing to take care of some kids? I don't know. Yes. I just am spitballing here. You're welcome,
sacrifice
ABC.
The children. Bennett is really on a tear. Like he's saying to Noah, like, you're a child. This feels like having an argument with a 14-year-old. Tayshia will never end up with you. I'm sorry to be the one to tell you that. And then he goes to his in the moment and says, I'm here for love, not to breastfeed Noah.
I'm like, I'm not.
Which honestly, so as a breastfeeding mother, I did not expect to have my current reality reflected so accurately on camera.
Do you too feel like you are breastfeeding Noah?
I mean, I have to say,
is that what breastfeeding feels like?
Yeah.
Our experiences seem a little bit different, but every breastfeeding journey is unique. And that's one of the things that's so beautiful about motherhood.
Yeah. It's just the strangest.
Yeah.
It's,
I mean,
just
this was
the strangest thing.
Bennett seems to have some hang ups about.
he's just
care, which I think Tayshia should look into before she has five children with him.
Very That's true. He's just a sort of classic elitist, and this just like can't, he just like can't understand what's happening around him.
A babysitter me? I went to Harvard. Yeah,
exactly. He's like, I am not here dropping H-bombs to have to do something like breastfeeding.
Yeah. Or a nanny. I'm not a babysitter. We don't.
I mean, I would have to just, I would have to say to Bennett, you would be surprised, but you shouldn't be, how many Ivy-educated women become nannies. It's a great job, can pay very well, and that's shaping future minds. Nothing very wrong with that. Kenny does have the theory that this is a chess move. Mm-hmm. He's like, I saw Noah playing chess in the house. I think this is just because Ivan is desperate and is tired of playing chess against himself.
That's true.
And yeah, like, yeah, Chasen has turned on.
Look, Noah has no allies now. Spencer is just sitting there quietly. He's like, I am not associating myself with anything. Chasen
with the name that was invented for this show.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Chasen was made to go on The Bachelorette.
It's like a neural network Bachelorette contestant name. Yes. It's like, yeah, our neural network named a whole season of Bachelorette contestants. Half of them are named Chasen.
Yeah, exactly.
So Tayshia comes in, doesn't even... Mm-mm. So she's canceled the rest of the cocktail party. Not all the guys have gotten time. She comes in. They're all waiting for the rose ceremony. Doesn't even say anything to them.
Oh, there is no toast. She will not be toasting to these bad boys tonight.
I've never seen the guys so in trouble for doing nothing. Like... There have been times when there's so much more actual drama and misbehavior among the contestants when the night goes relatively normally. And instead, they have basically been falsely accused. And she comes in and they are more in the doghouse than any group of contestants I've ever seen.
Ever.
She just stares them down. Finally, she just picks up a rose. Noah, Ivan, and Zach already have roses. So the roses go to Ben, Easy, Riley, Brendan, Bennett, Blake, Damar, Spencer, and Ed. That means going home, Jordan, Chasen, Kenny, and Joe.
Joe, so surprised.
I love Joe so much.
Me too.
I need him to come on this podcast. Joe, please.
If you're out there listening.
If you're out there listening. I don't think you are. You're probably, as an anesthesiologist in New York City, you are probably grappling with... perhaps some more important things than this podcast, but
standing invite.
Standing invite. And I was just very sad to see him go. The interview, Claire sent me an interview that he did with EW this morning, and it was just like very delightful. I want the best for Joe. I want him to find a nice, wonderful woman to settle down with. And I would like to be his friend.
Yes.
Yeah, he talked to Kristen Baldwin, friend of the pod at EW, and they talk about him, you know, being in a hospital in New York, a very hard-hit hospital during the first wave of COVID, his recovery from COVID. She's like, asks him if he would be interested in being the first Asian bachelor, and he's like, I hope I'm not single by then. Just generally very relatable, wonderful seeming guy, and I wish that he weren't gone so soon. Mm-hmm. And I also wish maybe that Ed weren't hanging around. I am mystified.
I was confused because I thought maybe Ed was like going to be around because of his conflict with Noah, but then it turns out Bennett and Noah are on the two-on-one, not Ed. So who can say why Ed's still there?
Kenny and Jason kind of surprised me.
Yeah,
as well.
I wonder if they just want options because, like, if she wants to, like, really keep Bennett around, maybe they would throw Ed the two-on-one date. Listen to me try to get into the mind of a Bachelor producer. I have no idea what they're doing. But, yeah, that really brings us to the end. Noah is like, I don't want to be the villain, but I'm not changing. If anything, I'm going to get worse.
You're like, oh, to be a 25-year-old.
You are the youngest person on the show.
He is
the production's dream. And it does now feel like we're breastfeeding him.
It's just exactly what breastfeeding feels like, I imagine.
Exactly the sensation of breastfeeding.
Yeah, if anything, these men understand motherhood. I just, obviously.
It's tragic how much when he said that, I thought, well, that just really sums up a lot of what I hear people saying about their choices in life right now. It's like, I don't want to be the villain, but I'm not going to do anything differently. In fact, I will make worse choices.
And I'm going to aggressively spread this virus.
Yeah, like, look, guys, this is America. It's very on brand.
You are free to do that. Like Kenny's chest tattoo and his cleavage, which I was just getting used to.
I know. But thank you for being another person who recognizes the egregiousness of Kenny's chest tattoo.
Is this the most chessy season of The Bachelorette ever?
It's so like chessy. They are deep, to the queen's deep.
They're doing ITMs shirtless.
The necktie is out. Like this is, you know, this is fashion. We're watching men's fashion in action.
If men's fashion takes a hard turn toward chest tattoos, I don't know how I'm going to cope.
I just, when I contrast the, when Claire, because you were like, I think they're more in trouble than any group. And I was like, no, actually, this same group got in really, really big trouble with Claire for not jumping up to try to take her for a conversation. And they cared not one bit. They cared not at all.
I would say the theme of this season is a relatively well-behaved group of guys getting in a lot of trouble for very small missteps.
It's true.
And they're just no trouble for big missteps.
Wow.
And balls and real men. And that's this season. And a quick conversation about race.
That about sums it up. And I think that's kind of a perfect note for us to end on. Allison, thank you so much. This is, as always, a true delight. It is so nice to see your face. Because it's been a while, given that we've been in this global pandemic for a long time.
Is it incalculable?
Like, forever, for my whole life, life.
We were born into COVID. We've lived in COVID.
We'll die
And we'll continue to know. Yeah. I don't want to go there. This is a delight. Thank you guys so much. I miss you all. This is great. I'm very grateful to be able to talk about the most important show in my life.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us. This was a lot of fun. I missed this during my season off, and I hope we can do it again soon.
Yeah.
So now it's time for Feminism Fails, and I'd just like to say we really do not have a lot here because this was a pretty good episode for feminism. And like generally for humanity, you love to see it, Claire.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say that like it's good for feminism in the sense of like moving the cause forward actively, but like definitely not as many above the baseline egregious fails as we often see. So we really
to
just
be
have
clear,
one.
This show is not. I didn't mean in the sense of you know advancing the political goals of the movement, more just not actively harming them.
Yes, less than usual. You know, we have one sort of silly fail that we wanted to note, which is Bennett saying that he's not here to breastfeed Noah, which. We're going to give a 2. I think it's sort of an icky joke, but mainly I just think it's interesting the way that men get humor out of the idea of them doing some sort of nurturing childcare work that women do that is comically ill-suited to masculinity. Obviously, Bennett probably cannot physically breastfeed, and I'm sure Noah is no longer nursing. But there is an undertone to that joke that I think just you'd be unlikely to see a woman make it for that reason, because it's sort of playing on the absurdity of a man doing that kind of nurturing. And the follow-up jokes about not being a babysitter sort of continue to riff on that. And not really egregious. I just thought it was silly.
Worth noting. And on that note, that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guest, Allison Williams, and of course, our tireless producers, Nick Offenberg and Sarah Patterson.
Give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram at Here to Make Friends Pod, and you can follow us individually on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emma Lady Rose.
We'll be back next week to recap the next episode of The Bachelorette. And in the meantime, happy Thanksgiving.
When it comes to scents, you should pick ones that smell like, well, you. Target gets it, which is why they offer a range of personal care products with fragrances for everyone. Be true to floral you with Dove Peony and Rose Body Wash. Live your fresh life with Degree Ultra Clear Deodorant. Express your decadent side with Love Beauty and Planet Coconut Shampoo. This spring, choose care that brings you joy beyond labels. Pick up new favorites at a Target near you or online at Target.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.